All right, if you'll get out your Bibles, let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. And I want to speak this morning to a universal need. And what I mean by that, it is the same need in me and it is in you, in the lives of every one of us who are born again. We come to faith in Christ. And one of the things that we talk about here on the hill is about this is the place where people come to life. And that's John 10 and 10. He said, I have come in order that you might have what? Life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And we've taken life, if you remember, in our membership class, and we've made an acrostic out of it to live in fellowship. That means to become a part of God's forever family. I is increase in knowledge. And so we want to teach you how to get into God's Word, the things that are necessary for you to grow, being in the Word and prayer and giving and sharing our faith. And then focus our gifts. God has given every one of us a gift. I'm behind the pulpit this morning because of the gift God has given me. You have a place as well, just like I do. My being here doesn't make me any better than anybody else. We're all on the same plane, but we've all got a gift to do. Something that God has given us by the Holy Spirit, sovereign choosing to use it for kingdom purpose. And then the E is enlarge the kingdom. And what I want you to understand is if all four of those are not in operation in my life, I'm not going to have what somebody has termed in a sermon one time, it. You know, that it, that thing that just gives you life. And what the Lord is talking about, that it, that makes you want to get up in the morning, that adds life to your days, you're not going to find it in a job. You're not going to find it in a human relationship. And you're not going to find it in an accomplishment of life. We come to church each week, we sing our songs, listen to a message. Maybe during the week you pray over your meals before you eat. You know, you don't just dive in like Rover and just start swallowing it down. We read our Bibles, we attend life group studies. But here's the thing, the danger is that in all of these good things, in our life, there's nothing wrong with them. They're all good. But if we're not careful, they become just more clutter in our already cluttered lives. Right. It's just something else that fills up our time. And so here's the insight in your outline. I want to give you this before we're going to read the word. But here's the insight in your outline. Leading people to faith in Christ, discipling them in how to follow Christ, gets buried in cluttered lives, all right? It gets buried, and we forget it. I can forget it. All of us can, and we need to remember as children of God, our lives are only one small part of a much bigger story. There's something bigger going on here, and that is God's story of redemption. And that's what the Father wants me to remember every day. And the truth in your outline, God saved nobody. No one to stand on the sidelines, but to live center stage in his story. And what is the story? It is the story of you and me and you and you and you and me introducing people through the days of our lives, introducing people that cross our paths, that we are around here, there, wherever we go, introducing them as God opens the doors to faith in Jesus Christ. And then coming alongside of them and helping them learn, this is how you follow Jesus. This is how you do it. And you see, the thing is, if you are consistent in worship, if you are consistent in being in your Bible, if you are consistent in prayer, you learned that somehow. Somehow or another, it stuck with you. And the reality is, there are tons and tons of people it didn't stick with. And there are a lot of them that we're thinking, well, they've just never been born again. No, no, no. The reality is, maybe they have truly been born again, but nobody showed them how to keep going. And you say, well, I did. Yeah, you did. And I did, by the grace of God. Huh? By God's grace. Or you and I would not be here this morning. Does that make sense? All right, that's what I'm talking about. So I'm not preaching at you. I'm with you. And so here's the anomaly in your outline. 2,000 years after the resurrection, tons of Christians and churches have lost the plot of God's story. We've lost the plot. And if you want to know why do I, maybe you're a guest here this morning and maybe you're looking for a place where there's life. The reason why you're looking for a place where there's life is because you've been in a church that forgot the plot of God's story. The thing that brings life is when you understand the plot of why we're here. You understand the point of God's story. And the plot of God's story, write this down somewhere, is Matthew 24:14. And this gospel, Jesus said, of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to the nations, and then the end will come. You see, what I forget and what you can forget is we've forgotten our Lord's promise. Now listen, here's the promise. Jesus said, when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached in the whole world, when the last nation has heard, when sufficient numbers in the last nation that has never been evangelized, when the last nation is reached to the point God has prescribed, Jesus said, then the end will come. See, the promise of Christ, the promise of Jesus is like this carrot dangling in front of us. You know, you see it maybe on cartoons or whatever. Somebody's got a wagon and the mule's out there and they just dangle a carrot out in front and the mule just keeps going toward it, you know. Keeps them going. This is supposed to be a carrot in front of you and me. And I mean, who of us doesn't want Jesus to come back? Amen. Right? We want him to come, right? Yes. Of course, I realize if you're planning to get married, you say, if you could just wait a little bit longer. I surrendered to ministry, and I got to thinking about that, Lord. Not until after May 21st. I'm just being honest. Just got that out. Get that out in the open. But see, who among us doesn't want God to right all the wrong that's been done in this world? Who doesn't want God to wipe away all tears, raise the righteous dead to eternal life, judge the wicked, restore his creation, establish his rule on this planet? I mean, who doesn't want that? And look at the truth in your outline. The pathway to the second coming of Christ is making disciples in all the nations. Here's the heart of the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world. And what does he mean by that? He means don't give up on the world. Too often here in the church, we want to spit on it. You know, they don't love the ways of God. Well, why are we surprised at that? They're lost, right? They're in darkness. Jesus says, go into all the world. Don't give up on the world. Don't retreat into the walls of the churches. Make disciples out of all the nations, and then the end will come. And the reality is, multitudes of preachers and Christians have forgotten or never understood the mission of the church. What is the primary mission? What's the mission of the church? Well, somebody said, well, fellowship. Nothing wrong with that. They see church as a place to make appropriate and good friends. But it's a good place to do that. Somebody might say enjoying worship, enjoying music, you know, and praising God and exalting him for who he is and what he's done. Nothing wrong with that. That's certainly good. Teaching doctrine. What does the Bible teach is right. Teaching theology. What does the Bible say about God? Practical Christian living. We got to know how to behave ourselves in the world. Nothing wrong with that. To teach children and youth, to bring them up to maturity. Here's the point. Every one of these are essential, but none of them are the mission. None of them are the goal, the objective of the church. Look at the truth in your outline. The saved are left on earth to make disciples out of every nation. Jesus said he came to seek and to save those who are what? Lost. He said, I came to seek those who are lost. So here's the insight in your outline. The primary goal of the church is not to do something with the saints. It is to do something for the lost. And it's easy to lose sight of that. Would you agree? Yes. I mean, it's easy to get involved in ministry. And it's good. It's easy to get caught up in Christian fellowship and relationships and busy in church activities and service. I mean, I know that better than anybody. All of these are good and they are biblical. But if we're not careful, we will lose touch with the mission of reaching lost people who are bound for hell. And we will get lost in that. So the question is, what's the path to reaching the world? What is the path? So, Matthew 28, verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, and he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. All right, let me land the plane this morning. I'm going to give you four things right quick. You said, Brother John, you've never given us anything quick. We're going to do it today. All right? Number one, what is it? What is the path to reaching the world? How do I do what God has called me to do? Four absolute essentials. Number one, availability. Availability. And this is in verse 16. It says, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. So if I want to live my life to the fullest, if I want it in my life, every day I have to make myself available to God. It is a conscious decision. Lord, here am I. Here am I. Lord, what do you want to do today? Lord, I'm about to go to the gym. I'm about to go to work. Lord, I'm going to eat lunch with so-and-so or whatever. Whatever it is that you're about to do, Lord, here's my day. I want to make myself available to you. You see, the point is, it said the disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. What mountain was that? We don't know. But we do know that at some point, if you go back and you begin reading in Matthew chapter 28, on at least two different times, the disciples are told, go into Galilee and the Lord will meet you there. Somewhere along the way, and it's not recorded in Scripture, Jesus got word to them there was a particular mountain they were, and he says, if you go there, I will meet you. I'll meet you there. And people showed up. Now here's the truth in your outline. All effective ministry starts with just showing up. Right? Just starts with showing up. It doesn't matter how smart I am or you are or how talented or anything else that could elevate you and me above anybody else around about us. If I and you are not available to the cause of Christ, our ability is useless. Right? It's useless. Why? Because I may know a lot about the Word, but what I know about the Word, if it isn't available to Jesus today, then today I'm going to miss the usefulness that I have for Christ because I'm not going to be where he wants me to be. The Lord says, I've got a place I want you to be. The Lord wants you to meet him someplace tomorrow. All of us. And everything starts with showing up, obeying our Lord's commission. To take the gospel to the nations here in America and across the world has to start by meeting the Lord at the appointed place. You say, what place? Whatever he tells you. Whatever he tells you. Going where he wants you to go. Do you understand? My life would not be what it is today I have no idea where Kristen and Joel would be today. I have no idea about if about my grandchildren, or I have no idea about the life I have today. If back there in 1972, I did not say yes to what God was calling me to do. You see, the thing is, the goodness and the power of your future determines by you saying yes today. Because when you say yes, then everything God's got for you in the future will begin coming your way. But if you don't go through the door he wants you to go through, if you don't say yes to what he wants you to say yes to, you will miss his provision. You will miss everything that the Lord has for you to give you life. You and I cannot make life ourselves. We cannot. We do not have that power. And I don't want to be some old man sitting at home miserable, wishing for the morning to come because I woke up early in the morning and looking for the sunrise to come up, and then beginning to yearn that the sun will finally go down because of the misery of the day, and I just want to lay my head on a pillow and forget everything. I don't want to live like that. How about you? Well, then make yourself available. Lord, here am I. Send me, right? That's what Isaiah said. And so being available in the Word, we meet him in the Word, we meet him in prayer, we meet him in the assembly of the redeemed. You got to show up. And I'm preaching to all these empty chairs. So when you leave here, you go tell them. Preacher talked about you this morning. I just wanted to let you know. You say, well, did he call my name? Well, I can't remember. Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some do, and so much the more. And so unless you're available, you're always going to miss it. Does that make sense? If it does, say amen. All right, so available. And then number two, worship. Verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped, they fell down in adoring worship. If you truly know him, that he is God of very God, raised from the dead, and your rightful place, you will know your rightful place in his presence is what? On your face. Has that been added to your relationship with him? Should. It should. That you would get down on your face before him. When's the last time you did that? They did. In the presence of the Lord, they were on his face. You say, are you making that a law? No. I'm just telling you, in the presence of the Son of the living God, our place is on our face. And the truth in your outline, discipleship means worship of Christ is your life. It's not an event. It's not something you do from 8:30 to 9:30 every Sunday morning. It is a lifestyle with you. And yet there is this addendum. And I want you to notice that the addendum is, yet some doubted. Why is that in there? Is that not an amazing thing? And yet, here's the living Christ resurrected, and they're all there. They fall down on their face, and yet some doubted. And somebody said, you know, why is that in there? Wouldn't that like justify somebody doubting today? Maybe. I think, however, it should be recognized that God's word truthfully and openly reports there were some who doubted. They doubted. So here's the truth. The Bible is always transparently honest. You see, the gospel is, listen, the gospel, this book is not human effort trying to convince people that God is real. It is not human effort that is trying to convince people of the resurrection by selective reporting. We've got a word for that today. It's called fake news. I want to convince you of something by telling you this. Matthew is not a selective evidence gatherer. Matthew recorded the truth of the day. Some saw, fell on their face, some doubted. Just told it like it was. Not surprising, some doubted. I mean, you don't see a resurrected man every day. You're like, what is that? Verse 18, and Jesus approaching spoke with them. You know what Jesus did? He moved to remove doubt. And so here's what I want you to listen to me. This is important in ministering to other people. God's word to any doubter listening this morning or on TV. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call him now on him now while he is near. What does that mean? What it means is if you doubt the whole God thing, you wouldn't want anybody to know, but there is this doubt inside of you. If you honestly, listen, here's the answer. If you would honestly say, this is what the Bible says. If you would honestly say, you know, I'm telling you the truth. I will follow Christ if I know he is real. All right, if that's you, then here's what God is saying. Call to him and say, Lord, I am asking you, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Show me that you are real. Dispel this doubt that is in me. And it, make yourself real to me, and I will follow you. If you're an honest man or woman, you'll pray that prayer. And so then God is saying we need availability, we need worship, and then number three, we need submission. Verse 18, when he finally did get to them, next to them, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, therefore go. Now, one of the things you find in Matthew's gospel, as well as in Luke's gospel, is this breakdown of the lineage of Jesus Christ, all the way back to King David. And God had promised to David, he said, a king shall sit on your throne forever. And you read Matthew's gospel, and what you get is you get the genealogy of Jesus traced back through Joseph. In Luke's gospel, you get the genealogy of Christ traced back through Mary. And so in both of those, his mom and his dad, Jesus had a right to David's throne. And the Lord said, there will be a king to sit on your throne forever. And that was a reference to Christ. And Jesus said, therefore, all authority has been given to you. What does that mean to me and you? It means the Lord Jesus is sovereign over everything. He is sovereign over our present. He is sovereign over this world. By the decree of the Almighty Father, Jesus is in charge, absolutely. And the word for authority is exousia in the Greek, meaning having complete freedom of action. So here's the insight in your outline. Christ has freedom to do exactly what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, with what he wants, and with whomever he wants. And that's the basis for me walking with him. I remember God had called me to preach. I'd spent 6 weeks in Brazil on the summer mission field. I came back. I asked Catherine to marry me. And so we were engaged. We engaged just in our hearts with each other for a year before I gave her a ring. But the thing that I was wrestling with that whole time was that I believed in my heart God wanted me to go to Brazil as a missionary, and that was the last place I wanted to go back to. I think I've told you, I got so sick on some bad water in Brazil, I thought they will ship my body home in a box to my mama, and I'll be buried in South Arkansas. I'm done. And God just took care. You know, I came home, but I did not have a love for Brazil. But I knew in my heart, I knew that's where God wants me to go. And it's just like I could hear him saying, Brazil, Brazil, Brazil. You ever tried to bargain with God? It never ends well. Why? Because he's sovereign. All of my crying, the Lord's like, are you through? Stop crying. Stop wailing. Brazil. That's all I could think about was Brazil. And that night when we were going back to the dorm, and Catherine laid her head on my lap and she was asleep and I was driving. It was late. We were coming in from singing in churches. And I just said, Father, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting you. And so, if you want me to go to Brazil, I'll go. I'll do it. Just like that. God said, I don't want you to go to Brazil, but I wanted you to be willing to go. And he said, you understand this. If you're going to walk with me, if I'm going to be able to do in your life what I want to do, there's no bargaining with me. You don't bargain. You don't argue. And I mean, he was like in my grill. It was so real. If you're going to walk with me, if you want my blessing on your life, when I say go, you say where. And I'll do what you want me to do. Does that make sense? So many of us get caught up in the inane, the trivia of the world, the spending our time and our talent, our life, our energy, our money, our resources on stuff that's going to burn and wondering, why is our life empty? Because we need one more thing. Number four, we need obedience. Jesus, verse 19, said, go. So here's the truth in your outline. You aren't following Christ unless you're willing to go even before you know what that means. You see, that's where I want to leave you this morning. Are you willing to say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do, but I want to know that you're on my life. I want to know that you're leading me, you're behind me, you're on both sides of me. I want to know that you are with me. If you want that for your life, if you are truly born again, you really are born again. You say, do you know how old I am, John? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But that we would say, Lord, here am I. There is no Christian under the sound of my voice here today that Christ hasn't already said, go. Now, listen. What does it mean to go? And I just want you to listen. I'm going to tell you what it means to go, and I'm done. What does it mean to go? It means all of us will seek to bring those around us to faith in Christ. It means our radar is up, and we are thinking about people that we meet. We're not thinking about the color of their skin. We're not thinking about their background. The only thing we're thinking about is, do they know Christ? Do they know the Lord? Going means that all of us will give sacrificially to make room on this hill for those God is drawing to himself through us, to disciple them, to follow us as we follow Christ. And so that means we'll give sacrificially to build a building for children. We're going to do that. Why? Because we are gripped with winning a world for Christ. And one of the best ways is to get them while they're young. Amen? Get them while they're young. Be attractional to young couples. We turn in here. We want to help you do life together. Going means some of us are going to remain here. Why? Because Christ's call to us is to be here. This is my 46th year. Thank you. Catherine knows how long I've been here. Why am I still here? Because he's never said go. If he said go, I've got to what? I have to go. I have to. Because being here will begin to go south on me. If God is telling you go and you don't go, then a good life is going to start going south on you. Going means others of us will hear God's call. Some of us are going to stay here. Others of us are going to hear God say, I want you to go into the state, and I want you to help plant churches. Beth and Philip Johnson have just done that, right? They're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Why? Because they want to get away from family. No. Are you kidding me? That's a bird nest on the ground. That's a South Arkansas term saying, man, you got it good here. And mom and dad on both sides are shoveling out food and everything else your way. Why did they leave? Because God said, I want you to go. I no longer want you here. I want you there. And their parents understand, even though the tears roll, that's where their kids are going to be blessed. Going means others of us will hear God's call to the nations. And it may not be Texas. It may be Oklahoma. It may be Nebraska, it may be New York City, it may be somewhere else. But all of a sudden you're going to have that sense, we just don't need to be here. Our high school seniors are off on a trip. And for some of them, it's going to mean, you listen, for some of our high school seniors, it's going to mean they're going to hear Christ's call to them to the nations. And some of our young people, God willing, and most likely are going to go to the Northwest where we're partnering with Resonate Church. And while they're getting their education, they're going to be under the tutelage of Resonate Church. And they're going to learn how to disciple. And they're going to learn how to win people to Christ all the while they're getting their education. It's going to change the trajectory of their life forever. And going means others of us are going to hear God's call to the nations. There are going to be more of our family that are going to be going across the waters. Because that's what God has called us to do. But nothing starts until we are available. Stand together. Let's stand. We're going to play the screen. The announcements will come. But I want us to close with this. I want you to leave here. I want you thinking about this. Let it germinate in your heart. This is what we've been about. But this is a refresher. This is getting us back on track. This is making course corrections in our life. This is who we are as a church. If we're going to be followers of Christ, this is who we are. And I pray that this message will stick and stay in your heart. And you will be praying for us as well as for yourself that we will be the church God has called us to be. Let's bow. Father, thank you this morning for the word. God, thank you for speaking so directly into our hearts and our lives. And now I pray, Father, this word will stick, that we will say, Father, we belong to you. We are yours. We want to be available because above everything else, we want to be blessed as we come in and go out. We want to be fully alive all of our days until we come home. And so we will do it through answering the call of missions around the world as well as here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please.